Guess what that feeling was? Anger. He was angry with God. How many of us have been angry with God? Don't put your hands up. He was angry because God didn't accept his offering. Now, you have wondered over these past 2 or 3 weeks, what happens? How does God respond when we're really honest with him about our feelings? Some of you have thought, how will God respond if I'm angry with him? I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how God responds when we bring our feelings to him. It's the scriptures are here on screen. Verses 6 and 7 of Genesis 4. The Lord went to speak to Cain. Now, let me take you back a little bit. Adam and Eve, Cain's parents, disobeyed God. God went to speak to them. You remember? Where are you? God said. What had Adam done? He'd hidden because he was naked and he was afraid. He hid. But God wanted to talk to him. Adam's response was, my feelings are not my fault, God. You want to know who I blame? Her. In fact, he said, the woman you gave me. Basically blaming God. My feelings are not my responsibility, Adam said. It's your fault for giving me her. God forbid that we as husbands would ever entertain that thought in all seriousness. So he goes to Eve and says, what have you done? She says, it wasn't my fault. The feelings I had that led to those actions, they're the Satan's fault, the serpent's fault. See, Cain and Abel had not had good parents who modeled how to deal with feelings. And so when the Lord went to Cain, he said to him, why are you angry? He didn't say you shouldn't be angry. He didn't say, I'm going to punish you because you're angry. He just wanted to know, why are you angry? I can tell you're angry because it shows on your face. Your countenance is downcast. You know, we like to think that we can hide our feelings. But actually, God has made it so that it's not so easy to. So that if we can't find it in ourselves to go to God, then hopefully there's somebody around us who loves us enough and who says, are you okay? You don't look good. You look down today. Is this something that you need to talk to God about? Let's talk to him together. And God could see on Cain's face that there was something wrong. He was angry. Look what he said. If you'll do what's right, if you'll allow these feelings to lead you to do what's right, will you not be accepted as well? Just for your information, what Cain had done wrong was that he'd just taken any old fruit as an offering. God always asks for the first fruit. Remember we talked about tithes a few weeks ago? The tithe which we bring to the storehouse where God distributes. We don't determine what that money's used for. God does that. He asks that to be the first fruits. So it's not only one tenth, it's the first tenth. And what Cain had done, he had just brought any fruit. Abel had brought the first fruits of his flock. And all God was asking him for was to say, look, just bring me the first tenth. Just bring me the first tenth and it will be accepted. But that, look at this warning. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. You see, Cain had been angry, but he hadn't sinned yet. This verse proves it. But what it did, what God did was show him that this feeling was an opportunity for Cain to allow sin in. It was crouching at his door. It hadn't come in yet, but it was there. And some of the feelings that we experience that we may term negative ones are just like that. They're still feelings, and maybe we haven't acted upon them yet. But let me tell you what God would say. Sin is crouching at your door. That word crouching is the same as when a lion or a tiger, one of those large of the cat family, is coiled up, ready to pounce on its prey. That's how it is. And that feeling that you feel is a warning that God enables us to have so that we can avoid it turning into sin. Can you see this now? God says, you're angry, but you don't need to sin. Just do what's right. Take responsibility, Cain. Take responsibility. He says, it, meaning sin, desires to have you, but you must rule over it. We have that authority in Christ Jesus that we can rule over sin. You say, I feel angry, I feel jealous, I feel hopeless, so I have to act a certain way. No, you don't. You don't. That's the beauty of it. The feeling is your warning, is your sensor for you to go to God and say, God, there's something making me feel this way. You know, we live in a nation, a beautiful nation, South Korea. In the last 10 years, the suicide rate has doubled. On average, there are 41 people commit suicide, not every month, every day. 15,000 people in this country in 2010 committed suicide. Now, I don't want to jump on the statistic emotionally and make it fit my sermon, but I guarantee that many of those people had feelings they couldn't deal with. Feelings of despair, of hopelessness, of failure, of pressure, of stress, to achieve, to come up to a standard that they couldn't, and the only option they felt was open to them was to take their lives. Serious stuff we're talking about. Really is serious stuff. Where we have got to learn how God has given us these gifts of feelings to help us to avoid sin and to walk in a Christ-like way. Is this helping you? Is this making sense? I hope so. Point number two, the cycle does not change when we. Now, I'm going to talk about three things that will not help us break this cycle. Number one, when we try to suppress or ignore those feelings. When you do that, all that happens is it's still there. And it will pop up some other time. I don't really enjoy gardening, and I really, really don't enjoy weeding. And I really, really, really don't enjoy having to get my fingers in all of that dirt and pull the weeds up. My method is to cover them over, but it doesn't work because they pop through again. And feelings are just like that. It doesn't change the cycle when we just try to suppress, when we listen to people who say, you shouldn't feel that way. Here's my permission to you. If someone says to you, you shouldn't feel that way, you can say this to them. Well, I'm really sorry, but I do. Okay? I've given you permission to say that. I'm really sorry, but I do. I need some help. I feel this way. Don't suppress it. Don't ignore it. Don't try to stop feeling that way. If you're feeling lustful thoughts, don't just try to stop. It's a warning. It's a sensor. Now, there are things that you can do, if you're smart, that will take away some of those opportunities for you to feel tempted in that way. Example, don't look at things that tempt you. Don't go onto certain websites. Don't get involved in certain conversations. Don't watch certain movies. That's just common sense. When the Holy Spirit came into our lives when we got saved, common sense was not supposed to go. And I think sometimes as Christians we think that's the equation. I either have the Holy Spirit or common sense. No, the Holy Spirit enhances your common sense, help you to use it even more efficiently. So do things that will stop you having opportunity to have those feelings. But don't just try to change them. Take them to God. Talk to Him about them. Because many of these feelings are rooted in hurts or disappointments, things that people have done or said to us, things that we've failed in, and we need God to help us, our feelings, our senses. The third thing is, don't try to change the circumstances. Some of them you just can't. You can be wise about certain things in your life, but there are some things that you feel that are rooted into circumstances that you just cannot change. So these are some things that will not change the cycle. Two things that will help us to change this cycle. What is that cycle, Pastor? It's this. I feel, and so I will do. And we're driven, we're controlled by our feelings. That's the cycle that we're looking to break. First one is what we talked about last week. Talk to God about them. That's great advice. You know, if you don't have a godly friend, and I pray that you do, somebody who will help you work through these feelings, talk to God about them. Get into conversation. The Bible says his ears are waiting to hear you. Have a soft heart so that he can speak into your heart and correct you where he needs to, give you wisdom where you need it. Talk to God. Second thing that we can do is this. Take responsibility for our feelings. We must take responsibility for our feelings. You say, now, wait a minute. You said to us just a little while ago, we can't help the way we feel. Yes, I did. And I still stand by that statement. We can't help the way we feel. When the engineer puts that oil sensor into the engine and it detects the pressure in the engine casing, that sensor can't help what it senses. Your feelings can't help what they feel. But you can take responsibility for them. You can face up to this one fact. As God was trying to help Cain, my feelings are my responsibility. How I respond to them is my responsibility. There's a wonderful story in Luke chapter 15. We call it the prodigal son. A father had two sons. The younger, I think he felt a bit arrogant. I think he felt he could do a better job than his father, than his brother. And he went off to his dad and says, I want you to give me everything that will be mine when you die. His father gave it to him. The Bible says he went off into a faraway country and he wasted it. He blew it on wasteful living. And then when it was all gone, it just so happened that there was a famine in the land as well. You see, he had feelings. I can do better. I want to be my own boss. I don't want to do what my father tells me to do. I can do a much better job. He was feeling these things, and he acted upon it. He took the money, and he ran, and he wasted it, and it was all gone. And the Bible says he came to his senses one day, and he was in amongst some pigs, and he was feeding them. Imagine the feelings that he had there. In fact, he gives us a little insight because he's thinking about even his servants back home who have more than enough. And he would be tempted to fill his belly with the food that the pigs were eating. He was feeling dejected. He was feeling lonely. How many of you know that when you've got plenty of money, you usually have plenty of friends, so-called friends. But when that money's gone, it seems like those people go as well. Yeah? No one was helping him. He was having feelings again. But now look how he responds. He takes responsibility for his feelings. He could have been one of those statistics that said, it's over. There's nothing I can do. I've rejected my family, my father. I took everything that was mine. I've wasted it. There's nothing back there for me. I may as well just end my life and committed suicide. That would have been a response to his feelings. But he took responsibility. There's a beautiful phrase that says this: my response is my responsibility. My response is my responsibility. The Bible says he came to his senses. Some of us maybe need to come to our senses concerning our feelings. They have driven us in a certain direction, maybe for years. And we've got to come to our senses and say, okay, these feelings are a gift of God. I'm going to talk to God about them, and I'm going to ask him to help me to take responsibility. That is my response. And I guarantee 100% that when we do that, God will help. Many are the afflictions that we feel, but God delivers us from all of them. Not when we ignore them, not when we suppress them, not when we try in our own strength, not when we try to change the circumstance, but when we bring them in our weakness to him and we surrender to him and we allow him to help us with our feelings. We allow him to strengthen us to make the right decisions, to take the right actions. And this young man went home. He apologized to his father, and his father embraced him, and he became one of the family once again. Fourth point, and we finish with this. Here's a big question. I don't feel able to do this. How can I face this? How can I take responsibility? God's power to help us is his Holy Spirit. We have built in within us the ability of God to deal with our feelings, to take them to him and say, God, help me. And the Bible says in Galatians 5 that there is a thing called the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read those together from Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, so many people spend the whole of their life trying to produce those gifts. I'm a Christian, I have the Holy Spirit, so I've got to love. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I've got to be patient. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I've got to be kind. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they miss the whole thing. It's a fruit, not of you or me, a fruit of who? The Holy Spirit. These fruits are the evidence of him in us. And when we have feelings of despair, feelings of hopelessness, feelings of giving up, whatever those feelings are, it is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us who can help us experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and that biggie, self-control. The Holy Spirit enables us. It's not a fruit of John. It's not a fruit of you. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He is there in our lives, just waiting to be given the opportunity to demonstrate his amazing power. And I want to tell you this morning. It is in those places of feelings that we have that we need to see the power of the Holy Spirit manifest big time. I tell you how I do it. When I get feelings that are not healthy feelings, and I'll be gut honest with you, okay? I'll be gut honest with you today. One of the times in the week where I have to be so on guard about my feelings is Sunday afternoons. Now, one of those feelings is laziness, because I get to feel a little bit tired. And I have to fight that off. I don't want to get caught into Sunday afternoon naps. I'm not old enough for that yet. I'm not old enough for that yet. That's just one. But sometimes I have feelings that I didn't do a good job. I could have said this. I shouldn't have said that. I could have made this point clearer. I could have, I should have, those sorts of feelings. Yeah, and if I let those feelings have a home in my heart, my Sunday afternoons are not pleasant. I get so critical and condemning of myself. Those are not good feelings. And so what I've learned to do is this: when I feel those feelings, I go to God and just in a moment of quiet, I say, God, living within me is your Holy Spirit, and I need your help right now. These feelings, if I act upon them, man, sometimes I wouldn't get back up in the pulpit the next Sunday. I'm not going to respond to those feelings in that way. I want you to help me. I want you to speak into my heart. I want you to help me to respond to what I feel, which are real feelings, but I want to take responsibility for them, and I want to respond in the right way. And usually what God says is, I need to spend more time with you. I say, great, then you've got me. And God comforts me. God strengthens me. God encourages me. And I feel good. It's okay to feel good, because God is good. So whatever our feelings are, I would say, let's take responsibility for them. Let's act wisely. Let's be responsible. Let's not just let them control us and say, you make me feel so angry. Well, maybe they do. But don't let that anger turn into an action. Don't quote your forefather and say, it was the woman you gave me. It was the children you gave me. It was the boss you gave me. You know, sometimes we talk to the most strange things. I've caught myself sometimes talking to my car. Yeah? Sometimes, you know, we're encouraging it. Come on, you can do it. You can get up that hill. Sometimes it's not so encouraging, and maybe we call our car all sorts of nasty names because it won't start. Yeah? We talk to our cars. You talk to your laptops and your computers. You talk to your iPhones. And I don't mean in Facebook and Skype conversations. You talk to it. Come on, look, I haven't got time for this. Yeah? Let's talk to God about our feelings. Let's go to him first. Let's have those conversations he's waiting to hear. Let him help us. Three confessions. Not going to spend any time on them, just to draw your attention to them. These are good confessions to have. My feelings and emotions are gifts from God. Number two, my actions and my responses are my responsibility. And number three, God has already given me his power and ability, and it's in the Holy Spirit. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life in this way. We say you are Lord of all. Let him be the Lord of your feelings. You say, well, nobody else knows what I feel. No, but they will do when you start to act upon them. Your car horn may know. Your work colleague might know. Your husband, your wife, your children. Somebody will feel it. Let Jesus become Lord of your feelings. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to worship the Lord as we close our service. Before we do that, I want us to pray. I know we're standing and we don't usually stand, but that's okay. Let's close our eyes in respect and to focus on God. And let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to us. Father, I pray that these words that you have spoken into our hearts will remain, but that they will not be like files that we put away somewhere. But God, that they will be open files that we use daily. Because every day, God, we're faced with our feelings. And maybe some of us are driven and we're controlled by our feelings. Father, I pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit, that we would make you the Lord of our feelings, that you would help us to turn our feelings into righteous acts, that they would become a blessing to us, that our feelings would become our friends, that we would embrace them because we see them for what they are. Lord, that you would become Lord of our feelings. I just want to speak to, as our eyes are closed right now, I want to speak to anybody that's here this morning and you're struggling because you say, well, I don't know about making Jesus the Lord and the master of my feelings. I haven't made him the master of my life yet. I haven't asked him into my life to come and cleanse me from my sin. And you know that you need to do that. You know that Jesus Christ is the one that died for you, the one that gave his life for you, and you have never, ever given your life to him. This morning, I want to say to you, now is the time to do that, to make Jesus your Lord. And if you want to do that this morning, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you. And if you want to do that, with every eye closed now, I want you to raise your hand up quickly to show me that that's you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else that wants to pray that prayer with me this morning? And say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want him to come and live in my heart. I want my life to be one that serves and pleases him. Anybody else this morning? If that's you this morning, then just in your heart, quietly, you pray this prayer before God and say, Jesus Christ, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you gave your life for me. And this morning, I give my life to you. Jesus, I repent of all the wrong I have done. I repent of that sin which has kept me from you. And I give my life to you. I receive you as my Savior and as my Lord. And I choose from this day forward to live the whole of my life serving you.